What's up, everybody? Recording the 28th episode of the Poppin' Questions podcast. I'm your host, Jozan. Pleasure to rap with you all once again, as we always do, answering 5 anonymous questions sent to me via my Forum Spring account, formspring.me/JozanC. Answering 5 anonymous questions, as well as a 6th question, which I qualify as the most unusual question of the week. This is the 2nd episode of the week, the 27th episode of the Poppin' Questions podcast. Is on my website right now, untilIgetMarried.com. So if you go there, you can scroll down and you'll see the 27th episode that we posted earlier this week. Closing out the week with the 28th episode of the Poppin' Questions podcast. Sitting here in my Harlem apartment, so if you guys hear a bunch of background noise, what can I tell you? That's life in Harlem. Not only are these questions sent to me via my Formspring account, but they are also emailed to me at feedback@untilIgetMarried.com. People email me questions as well, and I take those into consideration, and I extend the same courtesy that is allowed to people who ask me on Formspring, where I do keep the person who asks the questions, I keep their identity hidden, anonymous. So no identities are revealed. No matter whether I know who asked me the question or not, I won't tell the world who it is that answered the question. Because I'm thinking, like, what if my mom asked me a question? First of all, I don't even want to know if my mom asked me a question. But, like, what if she did? I wouldn't want to put my mom's business out there. So I consider everybody who asked me a question to be, like, a mom. I respect your privacy like I respect my own mother's privacy. And I would never, ever reveal to anybody who asked me what question. All that being said, let's get into all 6. Because we can't forget the most unusual question of the week, which is, I can't wait to get to it. Let's get into the first question. A reader writes to me, work crushes. How do you make your move when the majority of contact is around co-workers and boss, really digging my co-worker and I'm trying to make it happen? Well, I got 2 words for you, my friend, and those 2 words are, happy hour. That's where you make your move, okay? Go out with your co-workers after work to a little happy hour. And make sure that person that you have a work crush on comes with, get drunk, and start talking like drunk people talk, which is basically honestly. Let him know. Make sure that he's a little tipsy too. So that way he can go ahead and, you know, project what he's feeling, if he's feeling anything at all. You know, that's why they call it happy hour, because you can do the things that make you happy, okay? You don't want to do it at work. You don't want to put any subtle signs out there. You don't want to engage in any kind of inappropriate behavior or inappropriate contact, especially if you're a woman in this case, because as a man, a lot of men sometimes, men such as myself, sometimes do have trouble with that. You just don't want to get plagued with being, you know, the office flirt. You don't want to get plagued with the label of being the guy at the office who swindles of work fellow colleagues into, you know, working relationships and office relationships, office romances and stuff like that. But, you know, when you get out of the job and you guys go to a happy hour and see my man loosening up the tie and things like that, you know, and having conversations that don't revolve around the office, that's when you can make your move. So the way that you get your work crush is you take them outside of the office. You take them outside of the work. Don't do lunch together. Just do drinks together. Do a happy hour. Make sure a big group of you come. And then go ahead and slowly find a way to pair yourself off with that person. And there we go. You'll have your office crush in your bed soon enough. Good luck with that. Happy hour. Don't forget it. Next question. Very good question. Woman asks, how would you feel if your best friend tried to kiss your girl during a drunk night? My guy, the guy that she's dating, my guy's boy did this. I deflected it, but do I tell my man? It's a new relationship. First of all, no, you don't tell your man, because I'm going to tell you what happens when you tell your man. Okay? If it's a new relationship, don't get it twisted. Your man is still feeling you out. And I'm not going to say that if he's going to think that anything happened between you two. I'm not going to say that he's going to accuse you of anything, but he's not just going to take your side. Okay? And he's not just going to go up to his boy and confront him. His reaction may disappoint you. He probably will let that stuff slide because he understands not only himself, but he understands his relationship with his boys, and he understands that his boys understand him. And to be honest with you, the fact that you deflected it, that was a good thing, because it showed that you are serious about this new situation that you have with the guy that you're dating. And that man that did try to kiss you, his friend that did try to kiss you, could go up to his boy and be like, yo, man, I got messed up the other night. And I tried to kiss your girl, and guess what she did, man? She deflected it. And your man is like, oh, word? Great. Because maybe they had a time when they were out, and, man tries to introduce a girl to his circle of friends, and another dude makes a move, and that girl responds favorably. That girl responds like, hey, okay, you know what I'm saying? And she starts accepting all the attention from his friends. The fact that you didn't accept that attention from his friends makes you look good. But the fact that your boy, when he was really, that your boy's friend went and tried to make a move when he was drunk and y'all were partying and having a good time, I don't know. I don't think that that's really an issue right now. I know when I introduce a girl that I'm seeing into my circle of friends, I'm watching her and I'm feeling her out and how she responds to all of my friends because my friends are crazy. All right? I'm not saying that they go ahead and they just start hollering at the girl that I introduce them to, but in the beginning stages, They might try you. And if you respond in a way that's like you're trying them back, that lets me know that I can't take you seriously. So I hope I'm making sense with this one. Understand that it takes a while before a man's friends begin to take the woman in his life seriously. And all of this is just, you know, this phase early on in the relationship when people are feeling out each other's boundaries and each other's limits. And they'll get to know soon enough that, you know, you're not one of those girls that parties like they party and gets crazy like they get crazy. But please believe that at some point in that friendship between your boy and his friend, they probably had something similar happen. That your boy might have made a move on a friend, on his friend's girl at some point. So this is nothing new to them. And it's something new to you. So don't go introducing it or trying to cause conflict between them two just because you're not used to it. Okay? So keep that to yourself. And look out for it happening again, because if it happens again, then you do have license to go ahead and say something to somebody. To say something to your man, to say something to him. And pay attention. It could be when it's sober. You know, when he's like all sober and stuff. And then, yeah, you really do have an issue. Question number 3. A woman writes, have you ever been intimidated by a woman's beauty? Ever thought a woman was too pretty for you to date? Even if she's reciprocating interests. Some men say it's too much of a headache to seriously date a very beautiful woman as opposed to a cute woman. Thoughts? I agree with what some men say. There's an old song, and the hook of the song goes, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. the more beautiful the woman, the bigger the headache. And I'm not talking about her causing you this headache in a direct way. I'm talking about an indirect way. I know what it's like to date a woman that's so fine, I can't even tie my shoes without getting up and seeing some man all up in her ear. And it's going to cause some fights. No man has ever gotten in a fight over an ugly woman. Just speaking the truth here. But they have gotten into fights over beautiful women. And, you know, it gets really, really difficult sometimes to tell a woman to date a beautiful woman and deal with all the attention that she's going to get. Because a lot of that attention will come right in your face. And if she's a woman that is used to her beauty and well aware of her beauty, she's going to be able to handle that attention and know how to deflect that attention and know how to not create a conflict out of that awkward situation. But if you're dealing with a woman that is beautiful but has low self-esteem and therefore she kind of likes the attention and wants to see her man do something to curb that attention or something like that, then you might get into some problems. So, you know, I'm not really intimidated by a woman's beauty so much as I'm put off by the potential problems that a woman's beauty can cause. The other thing about dating a beautiful woman is making her feel beautiful. Because even the finest woman in the world wants to be told by the man that she loves that she is fine. I remember reading an interview with Tyra Banks. And she said, the number one problem that I have with the guys that I date is that they don't tell me that I'm beautiful. Because they think that, you know, the world sees me that way and I'm already getting told by so many other people in so many other ways that I'm beautiful. I make my living off of the way that I look, so they don't think that they need to tell me that I'm beautiful. But as she pointed out, she likes the same things that any girl likes. And any girl and every girl likes to be told by the man that they love and that loves them that they're beautiful to them. You know, it's really tough. I used to tell my ex-girlfriend, sometimes we'd be walking to work and I would say to her, do me a favor. Let all those guys know that yes, I know what I have. Yes, I appreciate what I have. And that I already told you that you're beautiful. And I did that to kind of get in front of all the attention I knew she was going to get from all the construction workers and the passerbys and things like that. You know, when a guy says like, yo, I hope your man told you that you're beautiful. So that way she could say, yeah, he already did that today, but thank you very much. You know, it's not to say don't pay any attention to those men. It's just to say, I see what those men see. But, you know, that I had to think about that, and, you know, it took me a while to say that. It's just sometimes troubling to make the beautiful women feel even more beautiful than they already are. Because fine women know that they're fine. They look in the mirror and they're like, yeah, I'm cute. You know, I'm beautiful, whatever. And they get all the attention and they get all the compliments. So how do you make, as a man, how can I make her feel beautiful in a way that stands out from the other people that are telling her that? And that's a challenge. And sometimes that's a headache. So no, not intimidated. But I am sometimes put off by the challenge of maintaining a beautiful woman and making her feel beautiful. Question number 4. I had a great convo with the dude, which led to a great date until the end when out of nowhere, he says I have baggage. I'm pretty sure it was because I didn't give him the head he was begging for. Now the convos are whack. Is he brushing me off? You know what? I'm pretty sure that he's brushing you off because you're delusional if you actually think that the reason why he said you have baggage is because you didn't want to give him head. Are you serious? You're trying to tell me that this great date, as you described it, this great date turned out to be nothing at all because you didn't give him head, and it's because you didn't give him head that he said you had baggage? Were you not paying attention to anything that you told him? You may have told him a little bit too much about yourself. And you have to understand that the things that you say about yourself are open to interpretation. Obviously, the date was great. And you know how I know the date was great? Because he asked for head at the end of it. That doesn't mean that you didn't come without baggage. And he probably caught on to that early on. And he said to himself, you know what? I feel like this is a really good situation for me. Because you probably told him so much about yourself that it made it look like you were very, very comfortable with this dude. So comfortable that he felt comfortable asking you for some head at the end of the date. Let me tell you about some dudes out there. Some dudes are smart enough to realize that you can't charm a woman out of her panties. You got to make her feel comfortable enough to get her out of her panties. And that's what this dude was doing. That's a macking technique. Okay? Just let a girl talk. Let a girl talk herself into it. Get her real comfortable with talking about herself. Project yourself as a good listener. And watch. She'll eventually feel so comfortable that she'll do something crazy. Like give him head at the end of the date. Now, the fact of the matter is, I think that's exactly what happened. You told him a whole lot about yourself. So much that it made him interpret everything that you said about yourself as you being a person that has baggage. But things went well enough where he felt comfortable enough to ask you for some help. You obviously weren't trying to project that kind of vibe, and so you turned him down. So when he said goodbye to you, he knew, because you had all this baggage, that he wasn't going to date you again. He went and took a shot. He took a last second shot. You know why he took a last second shot? Because he knew that that was the only shot that he was going to take. And if he missed and it went off the rim, he's not going to, game over. Game over. But if he made it, it's a tie. And now you guys can go into overtime and see each other again. And overtime is basically getting some more head at a later date. But he missed. Now he doesn't want to put up with you anymore. He doesn't want to put up with the baggage that he felt you carry. I'm sorry. So just be careful. Be careful with how much you share about yourself in the first date. Because if you, there's an old saying in sports, we got too much tape on this person. Basically, you got so much tape on a potential draft pick that you start seeing all the flaws in their game. That's what happened to you. You put too much tape of yourself out there. You put so much information out there that dude was able to gauge from it that you have a lot of baggage, even though that's something that you may disagree with. So the next time you go out with somebody and you think things are going well, let that person talk about themselves and, you know, kind of like pull some of what you share in. Let him discover later on that you have a lot of baggage. Question number 5. Gone out on one date, I decided that I'm not into the guy. He is nice and could be a cool friend. How, when, or when do I make the transition to friendship? Do I suggest we go Dutch on the next meetup? don't do all that subtlety, like, you know, yeah, let's go out again, but, you know, let's go ahead and go Dutch. And then have him interpret that as some sort of sign that you just want to be friends. I got an idea. Take down the, you know, caution, going Dutch may cause friendship sign, and put up a new sign saying, I just want to be friends. Okay? It's only one date. You're not hurting any feelings here. All right? What you have to worry about, what you have to concern yourself with, is once you tell him that you want to be friends, taking a proactive approach to building a real friendship with him. Don't waste his time. But say, hey, I want to go out with you again, but honestly, the next time we hang out, I want to hang out as friends. And then you pick an activity that you two can do together. Say, yo, I want you to join me on this thing. You know what I'm saying? Let's go together, but just so you know, I want to go together as friends. It's only one date. You're not losing much, okay? You're not hurting that many feelings, all right? Just tell the dude, hey, it was a great date, but you know, I'm pretty sure of what I want, and I don't want this to be a relationship, so can we just, you know, let's continue to hang out, because I really do enjoy your company, but I just don't want to hang out as potential, you know, in search of a potential relationship. I just want to hang out as friends. If he's a man that cares about that sort of thing, then he'll say yes. But if he doesn't, he'll say no. Less trouble for you. See how that works? Okay. And number 6, the most unusual question of the week. Yes, folks. We are finally here, a question that I love to answer every week, a question I look forward to getting. I was afraid that I wasn't going to get one, and I finally did. Here we go. It comes with a story, too. I was downstairs cooking and came up to tell my guy that it was ready, that dinner was ready. And I caught him masturbating in the bedroom. I was so shocked and terrified, all I could say is, sorry, dinner's ready, and pretended like nothing ever happened. What should I have done? I'm embarrassed. First of all, how selfish are you that you're embarrassed? You don't think that he's embarrassed? I'm surprised that he didn't write me a question that says, my girl was downstairs cooking dinner, and she came up to tell me that it was ready, and she caught me masturbating in the bedroom, and I was so shocked and terrified. All I could say is dinner ready? And then we pretended like nothing ever happened. Because, like, he's embarrassed too. You did the right thing. Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. Don't make him feel bad about it. Okay? Just ignore it. And most importantly, just don't bring it up at all. Ever bring it up. Don't worry about what he was thinking about. Because I guarantee you this. He wasn't thinking about you. I know. That sounds like, how do you know? You know why? Because I've been in relationships. And I've masturbated while I'm in relationships. And sometimes the very last thing that I'm thinking about is the very thing that I know I could already get. Louis C.K., the comedian, he has a great joke about getting caught masturbating by his wife, and he said how his wife wanted to have a talk afterwards, and the wife asked him, well, what do you think about? And he's like, what do you mean, what do I think about? And she says, well, do you think about me? And he says that immediately that question made him think to himself, it's my head. It's my imagination. I could go anywhere. Why would I go here? And it's one of the most hilarious bits he has because it's so true. You know, I don't know. You didn't bother, you know, telling me if you did the same thing. And I don't know if you do the same thing, but I'm pretty sure that if you do the same thing, if you do masturbate, that every once in a while your mind ventures somewhere else. You know, so let him have that. If anything, I think that this sounds like a beautiful relationship. Sounds like you two live together, you two have gotten very comfortable with one another, found a way to carve out a little bit of your own life within a life that you share with each other. It's a beautiful thing. And this is what happens when two people spend a lot of time together. You know, sometimes you spend so much time together that, you know, things just become like routine. You know, maybe you guys don't live together, but he's over at your house or you're over at his place so much that you just fell into a routine that he usually gets into when nobody is around. You know, I'll tell you what you do have a right to be, though. You do have a right to be mad that he didn't use whatever mojo he had on you. Don't feel insulted. Don't take it personally. But you should. You could have fun with it in that way. You know what I'm saying? You like just be like, hey, look, I need to talk to you about something. You know, I know I'm really upset with what happened the other night. And the reason why I'm upset with what happened the other night is because you were so selfish with it. How dare you use that good stuff on yourself and not me? You know I like that. How would you feel if I was downstairs cooking a meal and I just fed myself? Didn't even tell you that dinner was ready. You know, make it fun. He might laugh at that. He might be insulted by it. I don't know. But you know, that's the way, I know if a woman said that to me and I was in a similar situation, that I would go ahead and I would laugh it off like that. So if you're going to bring it up, find a way to joke about it, but don't find but in a way that doesn't insult him, because you guys will need to laugh about it, you know. Or tell him that you do it too, you know what I mean. But don't make it an issue. I think that you've done the right thing. You guys pretended like nothing ever happened. You know that it did. You know, just. I would have been like, yo, don't let me catch you doing that again. Just as a joke. You ain't no, you know, you ain't gonna, nothing's gonna happen. So, you know. But in any case, folks, that's it for the second Poppin' Questions podcast episode of the week, the 28th episode of the Poppin' Questions podcast. Once again, you can hit me with a question for consideration on a future episode of the Poppin' Questions podcast at my FormSpring account. That's FormSpring, FormSpring.me/JoesNC. You could also send me a question at feedback@untilIgetmarried.com. And that is it for this week. I had a blast recording this with you guys, and I hope you had a blast listening to it. Until next week, you all be blessed. Peace.